B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Maz.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, as promised, we'll take your calls on bees here and just starting to get into the Belichick press conference. I got some thoughts on the top of the draft and your role in it here coming up in a little bit. But to you first, Chris in Rhode Island on the bees. Go ahead, Chris.
How's it going, guys? So I wanted to mention one thing about Sweeney. I don't know if you realize it when you're watching the game, but he can be very aggressive. He comes out of the crease. He really tries to play guys, you know, aggressively, but sometimes what happens is he gets caught out of position too. And I've seen it a few times where he's sprawling backwards, trying to dive into the net, you know, and that's a concern of mine.
Well, don't you feel Philly went to school on it too?
Yes.
I'm talking back on the weekend game. You know, I feel like, you know, there's going to get in hockey. It's not quite as technical as football, but they look at tape and they scout guys, and an aggressive goalie, that's going to get out, and teams are going to adjust accordingly, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, he does. He comes way out and sometimes does get himself a little out of position. No to it, you know. I mean, it's pretty obvious.
So, look, is Swayman ready? Probably not. But that, you know, even guys who aren't ready get hot and go on a run. It's really not about, is Swayman ready to be your franchise goalie? I'd be surprised if that were the case. But can he be one of these guys for 6-8 weeks, plays out of his ass, and just gets hot?
And I've always believed there's something to be said about like a rookie coming in and being too dumb to realize the gravity of the moment. And then they play out of their minds because they're not weighed down by history or just right. How big everything is, you know?
Dumber the better.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Sometimes.
Seriously, I'm not joking.
No, and sometimes it's really beneficial.
Ignorance is bliss.
It happened with David Price, of all people, when he was first up with Tampa. When he came in relief in 08.
Wally and Brockton on the Patriots. Go ahead, Wally.
Hey, good afternoon. A couple things real quick. Belichick will never answer that question about Brady winning the Super Bowl because he'll have to admit that he treats his players like crap.
Should he not be asked? Hey, Wally, should he not be asked?
Oh, absolutely. And the second thing is Kraft is spending all this money on the so-called rebuild year. Why don't we just rebuild with a new coach? I'm sure there's plenty of people out there would love to be able to work with the talent that we have. I mean,
yeah,
I'm not a big Cam Newton fan, but there's a lot of people on the team that, you know, are willing to be taught. But
understood. He wants a new coach. Not going to happen this year. I don't think it's going to happen for a couple years. But we haven't circled back to this in a while. Maz, Murray, Stu, you still think Bill's coaching for his job this year?
I mean, if this thing goes, like, let's just say hypothetically, they go 5-11, okay? I don't know. Wouldn't you look at it?
Yeah.
If bad free agent signings, another bad draft?
No.
And Cam Newton at quarterback?
So it's different between what I look at it and do you think that's on the table down there?
They go 5-11? Yeah.
If it's, like, DEFCON 1 bad, like Maz is saying, like, it's real, real bad, yeah, I think it could be on the table.
I think it's on the table, and Matt Patricia is breathing down Bill's neck, so there's that.
So Jimmy's still hung up on that. But I'm not. Look, all I'm saying, Mike, is the Kraft spent $200 million and the team gets worse?
Yo, no, not a good look, but does it cost him his job?
It should.
Okay, well.
I said last year was that it would be on the table. That's what I said last year.
Most important position on the football field is the quarterback position, yes? And for the second year in a row, as it stands right now, he doesn't have one.
Well,
that is irresponsible. That is franchise negligence. Do something.
Thank God he was asked about and talked about it today.
Oh, no, that's right.
There was no question about Cam Newton today. Jim in Cambridge. Go ahead, Jim.
Hey, how you doing, guys? I think that there's a little plan going on here. If they just sign like someone like Bridgewater, I'm not saying Bridgewater, but someone like Bridgewater, when they go into the draft, they're going to have the option to see who comes up and says, we'll give you this and this and this if someone's available. Then they might be able to do the two or three defensive guys. I think that's an opinion of mine, but I think it's also a good choice.
Okay,
have
Jim.
A nice day and do a good job.
Thanks, babe. I don't totally understand your question, I got to be honest, but I'll just pick it up and say I feel so much better. And I feel they would have so much more freedom at the draft as it relates to the quarterback if they had a better veteran in here right now. If they had Bridgewater or Garoppolo, never mind Wentz or Stafford or these other guys who were available, if they had any of those guys in here, I would say, you know what? You could skip the quarterback position this year as far as I'm concerned. You've bought yourself a couple of years. where you can wait and really be tactical about it and wait for your guy and not reach. And because I think Garoppolo will cover you, or Bridgewater will cover you, or Wentz would cover you. But they went cheap again at that position. And so now it's like, but I still think they're there. I still think whoever they draft, whether it's Fields at 15 or Mond at 40 or Trask at 48 or whatever, the guy ain't going to play as a rookie. So we're looking at whatever veteran they have in here. And right now it's the worst quarterback in the NFL in Cam Newton. But I guess that's not a talking point today. Not a concern for Bill on his conference call.
Yeah, look, that part blows me away. I wonder if in their minds it's unrelated. Like maybe they're taking, and again, I'm not saying I think that way, but maybe in their minds they say, well, we're taking one in the second round, whether it's Cam Newton or Jimmy Garoppolo. If Garoppolo were here and they didn't take a quarterback, I'd be pissed. You still got to take one.
Yeah, no, I still think they do, but I still think Garoppolo can be your guy for the next 3 to 5 years.
Sure, absolutely.
And same with Bridgewater. And same with Wentz, for sure. And same with Stafford. Maybe a little closer window on Stafford, but you know what I'm saying. Like, I think you've bought yourself there some time on the quarterback. Right now, it's... Ryan and Bill Ricca on the Bees and Tuukka Rask. What do you think, Ryan?
What's up, boys? Listen, Rask is a very good regular season goalie, and I feel like he's a good playoff goalie until Game 7, and then he craps his pants. But I also don't want to, you know, jump Swayman because I want him to develop. I definitely don't want Swayman to become the next Carter Hart. So that's all I got.
Yeah, don't ruin him. I'm with you, Ryan. Don't ruin him. Don't ruin Swayman, whatever that means. Whatever that means. If you overplay him and, you know, throw him to the wolves, is that going to ruin him? Or can he handle it? So then you got whatever it takes there. Don't ruin the kid.
If they caught lightning in a bottle and they want to couple them this year and then he sucked going further, I could live with that. I'd be totally fine with that.
Of course.
Yeah, I would be too, actually.
Yes, you sacrifice the career for the cup for 1 year. Hell yeah. I'd say it with all love and respect in my heart for Jeremy Swayman. Rask, excellent regular season goalie, true. And he's a good playoff goalie. You know what he's not, Ryan? He's a champion. Your winner or whatever that thing. He's not that thing. And that sucks. So you always, no matter how good he looks, no matter what kind of year he's had or whatever kind of run he's on, it's just that thing hanging over your head because, I'm sorry, he doesn't got that thing. And that's a tough thing to be, tough spot to be in when that, you know, when that's your goalie.
Nobody says crap his pants better than Ryan, by the way. He says it better than anybody. Every call has at least one reference. But Daniel, crap his pants.
Well, speaking of which, I've now got two emails on this, and maybe we can leave this for a fart court with Tutra and Rich, but apparently Belichick might have let one rip during this press conference. I got to try to get through this here and find this.
Okay, so Murray's going to do some forensic audio work there, and we'll... We'll tell you what, we come here, the most interesting part of the conference call, for sure.
Got to bring in the scent dogs.
Oh, I'm sorry, was that it?
No, that's a phone call.
Oh, that was me, that was my phone. Yeah, I'm sorry, my bad. Joe in Vermont, go ahead, Joe. I'm not saying you ripped one, but anyway, go ahead.
Well, you know the one thing Rask is never going to win? The attendance award. Anyway, between like Sarge Riley having a pop, Coyle coming back to form, DeBrusque figuring out how to play, Pasta pulling his head out of his butt, and Grizzly figuring out how to work with McAvoy and our goalie forgetting how to show up in the building. You guys want to trade? Like, didn't it seem like they could have sold and, like, been much better off? Like, we're great. Like, we could beat the Islanders and get 4 points, but, yo, the Lightning are waiting for us, and I don't know that we have what it takes to get past them. So
okay, well, I mean, now you're... Okay, so now you're handicapping the conference final or the semifinal round.
I was going to say, how about getting out of the division
how about
first?
Making the playoffs.
Right. There's also that, yeah.
But the general point there of they should have been sellers is fair. You could have made a case to me that they would have been better off long-term, big picture, being sellers at the deadline.
I'll tell you what, though. Given what they gave up, I'd rather they went the way they did. Because they didn't give up much. They didn't give up a ton. And so, and they added to the team. And look, I think that if it comes together, and I'm not saying it will, but I'd roll the dice on it. What the hell? Let's see what it looks like. I want a hockey playoff season.
Well, I'll tell you what. They did buy and they did invest in the team, but they definitely had a ceiling. They weren't going to give up a first-round pick, which, you know, so they, if you want to say they kind of halved it, they did. But they also came back with an MVP. So... I like their deadline. I'm fine with what they did. I don't think they mortgaged anything. Chuck and Methuen. Go ahead, Chuck.
Yeah, the reason they brought Cam back is because he's a nice guy, Mike. He's got a nice smile, and he comes in early. And this is a comment about the people asking questions, because when Rod Rust said the 1-15 Patriots played hot every week. You know, McDonough and Borges said, isn't that the bare minimum? And isn't that the bare minimum of a pro quarterback, that he's the leader, that he gets in early, and that he's cordial to the press? And isn't it also something of a requirement that he's good?
Huh.
I mean, I don't know what they're doing bringing Kim back. This is ridiculous.
Thanks for the call, bringing me back to Borges and McDonough and Rod Rust. God bless you. Hey, but you're kind of missing it. Cam Newton isn't back because he's nice to the press or a nice guy. He's back because he kisses Bill's ass and he says nice things about Bill to the media. And this is doubly important because every other time Tom Brady opens his mouth, he's taking some sort of passive-aggressive shot at Bill Belichick for not listening to the people around him or caring about the people around him or, you know, backing up and praising the people around him. And every other thing Brady says is some sort of shot at Belichick and the way they run things around here. So that makes Cam Newton doubly important to Bill Belichick, because Cam Newton does nothing but promote Bill Belichick and what a great guy he is. I think the whole thing is a bag of suck. Like, it is ridiculous that we may have to watch this guy play football again, all because he kisses Bill's ass in the media. That's a freaking joke, but that's why I think he's here.
It's scary is what it is. I told you, worst case scenario, if you asked me at the end of last season, was that they would take they would bring back Cam Newton and take a quarterback in the middle rounds. And you know what? I think that's in play.
Do you consider second round, middle round?
No, I consider second higher end of the draft.
Okay, thank
so
you.
So if it comes in the second, I'm fine with it.
Yeah, same.
But if they push it off beyond that, oh, I'll be pissed. Like, so again, we're going to do this every spring? You're just going to sign the cheapest suckbag free agent on the market, right? And pick a guy in the third or fourth round every year? That's what you're, for how long? Like, how long are you going to do that?
And scroll on down to the middle of the page.
Anyone who's considering, or the Pats are considering, there's a pre-signing vetting process where they go through what you have to say to the media about Bill. You know, remember Teddy here. You got to tell everybody what a great guy he is to play for, and what a great environment it is here, and how Bill really is a good guy to play for, and got his players back. You got that right? Because otherwise, you know, I don't know if we can. We're not gonna. You know, never mind if you can play or not. But are you gonna promote Bill Belichick as a good guy to play for? Key factor here in New England, apparently. So what's going on at the top of the draft and the Patriots' role in it? It ties into their, you know, Bill's absence yesterday at the Ohio State Pro Day, the two Ohio State Pro Days. Bill did not go to either chance to go look at Justin Fields. What does that mean? We'll get into that right after these words.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Just a non-stop whirlpool of kerfuffle.
Kicking a hornet's nest every single day.
You gotta listen to believe it. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, the Patriots aren't going to have a shot to draft him for good reason, because he is the second best quarterback in the draft, in my estimation. I love what Wilson has done from BYU, and I like the way he's played and the way the ball comes out of his hand. There are throws that he makes that are wonderful. Trevor Lawrence is the best quarterback in the draft, but Justin Fields was neck and neck with Trevor Lawrence and did really very little to change that over the course of the year. He had limited guys around him in 2020 and still performed brilliantly, especially in the two playoff games after the Big Ten championship, where he wasn't so hot. So what we've really engaged in, Trenny, has been a lot of subterfuge, a lot of propaganda, a lot of puffing people up for no good reason, i.e. Mac Jones. Justin Fields isn't going to be, as you pointed out, around for the Patriots to even sniff.
Tommy Kern, our buddy there at NBC Sports Boston, on the Arbella Early Edition on NBC Sports Boston. Sometimes appears with Mike Holly and I at the 10 o'clock show, Boston Sports Tonight. And that was his answer yesterday about, and what I found interesting was Bill Belichick not going to Justin Fields' pro day. And I just say this again because this is a special year. These last two draft years are different than any other draft year. There's no combine, and you can't host personal visits, and you can't have personal workouts. The only chance you get to look at these guys in person up close is in these pro days. And look the guy in the eye and talk to him and that sort of thing. And never mind, you know, watch him play in person. This is it. So it's sort of different. You know, any other year, I don't know if it's important to go to a pro day or a senior bowl or a combo or any combination. You have so many chances to look at the guys. But this year is different. So when Bill Belichick doesn't go yesterday, what does that say? Yeah, they're not drafting Justin Fields. It's a pipe dream that they're going to trade up and get him because Bill's not even going to bother to go look at him. Or does it say the thing that Robert Kraft alluded to in the offseason? We're going to be more collaborative at the draft. And has Bill lost some yank there? And is there going to be, you know, more of a collaborative process when it comes to drafting the next quarterback or a receiver? Has Bill deferred on some of the offensive positions? Something Tom Curran again sort of mentioned last month when he said he thinks Bill should be fired from offensive decision-making.
I mean, aren't those the only two options? Is there a third?
There is a third, and Tom Curran just said it. That we've been fed, we the public, a giant load of horse crap that Mac Jones is going third. That was just a giant subterfuge thrown out there by the Niners or who else or whatever.
A viral load.
Thank you. A Felger and Maz viral load has been foisted upon us, has been slung at us.
Spit.
I had this, and if you're listening yesterday, go listen to the podcast. You'll know what we're talking about, the viral load. That it's really Justin Fields that's the third guy. Everyone knows he's the third guy. That's what the Niners traded up for. Everyone knows it behind the scenes or in the NFL world. It's just the rest of us that are casting about with our stupid mock drafts and trying to piece it together. But the insiders, the real league people know the Niners traded up for Justin Fields. He's not going to be there at 15 or 10. So Bill going to go look at him is kind of pointless because he ain't going to be there. He's not going to be anywhere close to there. And that's what Curran's point was. And Curran talks to Patriots people. So I wonder if that's where that's sort of the answer that maybe he got when he's wondering how come Bill didn't go to the thing.
I mean, I don't rule that out.
Maybe the reason Bill didn't go to the thing is because he's going third overall. And we're not trading up to three. And that's what everybody knows. And then, but it's like, boy, there's just so many different opinions on Justin Fields. I've been told that he's the fifth guy out of five. Chris Sims has Kellen Mond ahead of him. He's like, he's like the sixth guy, really, according to Chris Sims. And, you know, it's like, so what do I believe here? And I just find like, I find this fascinating. Who is it really just a complete feign, this Mac Jones thing? And it's like the opinion on Mac Jones is so divergent. Again, Chris Sims thinks he's one of maybe the best pure passer in the draft. He thinks Chris Sims thinks that Mac Jones is the better pure passer than Trevor Lawrence. But you ask Chris Gasper, and he's Jag Jones. On his best day, he's Andy Dalton. Or if he really overachieves, he's Kirk Cousins. So what is it? Like, I'm sort of fascinated by this. What do you think, Maz?
Well, so look, I think that I always go back to say, I always say, what's your first instinct? And my first instinct was, I'm not sure Mac Jones is a first rounder, period. So I go back to that, and I can totally see some sort of gamesmanship. The only reason I put stock in Jones's number three was because Chris Sims said it, and he's tight with Shanahan. That's the only reason. Otherwise, I would have looked at it and said, Mac Jones to me is a guy I would take if I'm the Patriots in the second round. He scares the crap out of me. Because as much as you can talk about his acumen and everything else, and you know he can deliver an accurate pass, he had some otherworldly talent around him at Alabama. It made him really difficult to evaluate. So, you know, what Curran's saying makes some sense. And if you think about it, the more athletic players are Trevor Lawrence, Wilson, and Justin Fields. I mean, and Lance is too, but he comes with the caveat of he just hasn't played. So I think there's a variable with him that negates that. But in theory, those three guys that I mentioned should go 1, 2, 3. If you're basing it on athletic ability and, you know, talent going into college, talent coming out, it's those three guys.
And I think this is just so much hype surrounding Mac Jones. I'm with Maz and these people that doubt him that say it had more to do with the talent he was surrounded by than anything else. Because, again, going into this, he was going to be a second rounder at best. Now we're talking about him third overall. Please.
So, you know, what's that? Was it just a giant feign? I mean, I don't know what the Niners get out of it, but is that just what's going on? And so, again, go back to the pro day attendance. Bill has two chances to go see Justin Fields. And Justin Fields, from what I understand, scheduled the second day because his first pro day was the same as Alabama's. And guess who was at Alabama's? Belichick. So Belichick goes to see Mac Jones. Does he go to see Mac Jones because that's actually the tweener who might drop to him? And that's the guy he's going to have a chance to draft. So that's why he's going to look at the guy that's a realistic possibility for him to draft, and that Justin Fields is long gone. But either way, Justin Fields apparently said, well, not every team, the Niners couldn't come see me because they were in Alabama too. So I'm going to have a second pro day. I guess he apparently scheduled the second pro day specifically because his first was unluckily scheduled the same day as Alabama and not everyone was able to come see him. So he said, I'll do a second one. So anyone who missed me the first time can come see me the second time. And Belichick still doesn't show up. So either Belichick really hates him, or Belichick knows he's going to be long off the board at three, or Belichick's really not making the call. He's deferring to Ziegler and Groh and McDaniels. All three interest me.
Sure.
But the one that, you know, I sort of neglected was what Curran sort of mentioned there and what others are saying, which is, don't fool yourself. Mac Jones is not the guy at three. It's Justin Fields, and the Pats aren't going to be anywhere close to him, so Bill doesn't need to go see him. Okay, so I just find that interesting.
So did the Pats go see Lawrence?
The Pats did. Well, the Pats did, but did Belichick? No. Belichick only went to, and Belichick didn't go see Trey Lance either. Okay?
Or Zach Wilson.
Or Zach Wilson. Very good. So the only one Belichick has gone to see himself was Mac Jones.
Well, that should tell you plenty of them.
So is that because of Mac Jones, though? But then here's another layer. Or is that just because he wanted to go grab a bite to eat with Nick?
Well, it could have been that, too, yeah. But I'd like to think that when it comes to football and it comes to quarterback, that Belichick wouldn't be so cavalier about it like that. So the idea that I'd like to think that, who the hell knows? But I do think that, I don't know, maybe Mac, you know the scenario you painted about what if Field slides to number 15 and then Bill's got to make a choice?
Oh, yeah, I love that scenario.
Don't you think it becomes in some ways more interesting if it's Jones? A, because of his connection with Saban, and B, because it feels a little bit more like their kind of guy.
Any quarterback, any of these guys, any of these premier, the top five guys, if they drop to 15 and Bill doesn't even have to trade up for it and it's in his lap, and you know he probably doesn't like the guy, any of them, probably doesn't want to draft any of them, but good God, well, here we are at 15. And when he takes a defensive tackle no one's heard of, when we all lose our minds, like, that's good eating, right? So, like, I'm just looking forward to that scenario. But, I mean, to me, Maz, back to your original comment, it doesn't matter to me whether it's Fields or Mac Jones or Harry Houdini. Like, it's just, if the quarterback's there and you're not taking him, that's going to say a lot.
Yeah, so look, again, I get it. You're looking at it more from the talk show perspective. I'm just I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm just telling you that I think he'd be more enticed to take Jones than Fields. I think it feels more like his kind of guy. So, like, I could see him taking Jones at 15.
But, you know, we pulled some sound that we played before, but just the way some people view Mac Jones, the way some people, you know, like, some folks, like, we had Charlie Weiss, Chris Sims, and there's guys say, this is the guy. This is the guy. And then there's others who look at him and say, what? You're going to draft a guy because he's a good fit for your system? But he's not a high-end athlete? Like, that's stupid. And Chris Gasper says the guy blows. Never mind, you know, he's not a top three pick. He's not even going to be a good NFL quarterback. Like, someone's going to be right, someone's going to be wrong. I love that, and my balls aren't on the table. I'm watching this one. You do the draft stuff on your own time. I'll just pick you apart after the fact. Like, that's good. That's fun. Because it's all over the map with these guys. And Justin Fields, too. You know, some people say he's like Deshaun Watson. Everyone drops him for no good reason, but he's that kind of athlete, and he's going to be that kind of player. And you're going to take a big, lumbering stiff like Mac Jones? You're once going to make the mistake of, not that these are perfect analogies, but you're going to go Mitch Trubisky over Deshaun Watson and Pat Mahomes because of what? You think one guy can process better or would fit better in your quote-unquote system versus a guy who can actually play? Like, are we living that sort of thing? It's starting to interest me a little bit. Let's pick this up on the other side. First, an update from Big Jim Murray, and then back to this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Maz.
Those guys are always trouble.
I want nothing to do with this guy.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
This is what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid that Bill is going to talk himself or let Saban talk him into Mac Jones.
And are you becoming more convinced Cam Newton could be back?
I'm going to change this guy's name. This guy's name isn't Mac Jones. It's Jag Jones. Because that's what he is. He's a Jag. Jag Jones.
So that's Gasper on Mac Jones. Should hear Chris Sims. You're Chris Sims on this guy. Stu, give me Sim 6 on Mac Jones. Chris Sims.
Is Mac Jones a legit first rounder, or is he more of a round two project?
No, legit. There's no project. There's nothing. He's NFL ready this second.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can bring him into camp. I keep looking at the Carolina Panthers at number 8, right? Because I think, Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson are going to be gone by the time 8 comes.
Easily.
But you got Joe Brady, who came from LSU.
Yeah.
And I go, wouldn't this guy fit in that offense?
Yeah.
He's Joe Burrow-ish, we just talked about. There is no project. He's ready this moment.
Do you think he'll be there at 8?
I don't know. He might not be.
So Sims has got him as a franchise guy.
And so, for context, that was March 4th, before the San Francisco trade.
Yeah, this was a while ago.
Yeah, and again, then when San Francisco made the trade, he thought they were doing it for Jones.
He said he'd be shocked if it wasn't Mac Jones. Again, Chris Gasper says Jag Jones.
This is what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid that Bill is going to talk himself or let Saban talk him into Mac Jones. Because that's what he is. He's a Jag. Jag Jones.
Give me the other Gasper cut on Jag Jones.
My point ultimately is that people are talking about him, saying they like him the best. They're talking about him like he's a franchise quarterback, and he's not. He's not. He's one of these faux franchise quarterbacks like a Dalton or a Cousins or a Derek Carr, who can look the part in spurts, but ultimately is not going to elevate you or your team to being a winner. He's going to put up a bunch of stats. He's going to look good. It's going to say, like, you're going to look and say, oh, this guy has the intangibles of a leader, and he studies film. He does all the things you want him to do. But that certain je ne sais quoi that a Rodgers or Breeze or a Brady has, he doesn't have it, and he's never going to have it.
Chris Sims, number 4. Go ahead.
One, he is a machine thrower.
Mm-hmm.
He's, to me, like, him and Zach Wilson are more consistent throwing the ball than Trevor Lawrence.
Mm.
But, his top-end talent and potential is not Trevor Lawrence. So that's why I don't have him there. But if you just ask me to, like, right now at this second, who can hit the most bullseyes and make the greatest? I'm going to go, Mac Jones is going to hit more bullseyes than Trevor Lawrence right now. He is. Mac Jones is another one I was secretly blown away by.
Blown away. Chris Sims says he's blown away by Mac Jones, and Chris Gasper looks at him and says, this guy blows. Now, he's not blown away. He just blows. It's like, oh, I love that. How could two pretty smart guys, look at the same player and have that kind of opinion?
Well, there's been a change, too, as far as odds makers are concerned. I just had this sent to me by a few people. So now Justin Fields is the new favorite to go 3rd overall on FanDuel and DraftKings. Odds for Mac Jones, which he was listed at over 3.5, has gone from plus 200 to minus 110 since just yesterday.
So, and this is happening too. Now, again, we have some odds. You'll show them on the simulcast. I don't know if those are a little old because it feels like yours are updated there, Murray. But over the last 2-3 weeks, it was like Mac Jones, Mac Jones, Mac Jones. And I feel like in the last 48 hours, all of a sudden, here comes Field. Again, that Kern cut yesterday. Belichick didn't go to Fields' pro day because Fields is the second best quarterback in the draft, and he's going no later than 3, and they're not going to be even close to him. So why go to the pro day? He just says it's so matter of fact. It's like, what's going on here?
So look, the only guy, if you go back to the beginning, it was Lawrence and Fields. It was Lawrence and Fields.
Absolutely.
And so sometimes I think along the way, it all gets muddied or muddled or whatever word you want to use, and that it's either people doing bidding or people just getting bored because they're doing mock drafts or what. But, look, Wilson had a good year. Can I just add one other variable into this?
Sure, of course.
What if Sims is doing Shanahan's bidding?
I don't want to believe that, but it's possible.
Okay, but what if he doesn't know that he's doing Shanahan's
bidding? But it's possible, of course.
So that, Shanahan wants everybody to think he's taking Mac Jones, but he's really going to take Fields.
Yeah, right. And I don't know how he benefits from that, because where the Niners are, they're in a position of power. Like, they don't need to have anyone drop to them. If they want Fields, he's going to be there. So it's like, I said this earlier. I don't know why the Niners would need to play that game, but maybe they're playing that game for Pete's sake. Just give me one more. Give me Sims 5 on Mac Jones. He loves himself some Mac Jones.
His first knock, okay, is he doesn't look cool in his uniform. All right, that's all that to me, that's part of the reason we're talking about. And Mike Florio brought it up today, too. And I wrote that down. I said, that's really one of his biggest issues. All right, the other issue I hear
Hold on a second. That he doesn't look good in his uniform?
Yeah, he doesn't look cool in his uniform. It's a thing. It's a thing. It becomes because then they just go, and then there's no sex appeal to his game. Well, we don't see sidearm and, you know.
He doesn't move around much. I mean, that's a legit issue, but not looking good in his uniform. It just seems like a kind of like a funny anecdotal thing.
It's a funny anecdotal thing.
There are a lot of really good Hall of Fame quarterbacks that I've walked
right.
Into.
Look at this. This doesn't look like Zach Wilson or Trevor Lawrence or as cool as some of the other guys.
Yeah.
But you know what really does look awesome?
Yeah.
Every ball is a freaking piss missile, perfect spiral on target.
Yeah.
And there's so many big time NFL throws. Mm-hmm. It is unreal.
Guys, ready now. Every throw's a piss missile. You know, the only reason someone doesn't like him is because he's not athletic as these other guys. I mean, you see Justin Fields running the 40 with his shirt off. Like, that is an impressive sight.
Oh, yeah, no question.
Never mind, that has nothing to do with how you play the position. It's just sort of sex appeal. Like, I get what Chris Sims is saying there. But, like, how could two guys, and it's not just Gasper and Sims. It's like Charlie Weiss is over here and this draft expert's over there. Same guy. And it just fascinates me. But what does that have to do with the Patriots? Is it really Mac Jones? Back from the start, if you dial this back to before the process started, the draft process and the media industrial complex of the draft started, it was Lawrence and Fields, and Mac Jones was a day two kind of guy who had a nice year, but he projects, you know, as a lower tier guy, and that's how it all started. Is that how it's going to end, and the Pats just know it? So we're not going to bother going to Fields' pro day because he's gone in the first couple of picks. And Mac Jones is the one who could slip to us, so Bill's going to go look at that guy. But at the end of the day, we probably don't want him either. We're still going to draft a fat defensive tackle who you're going to hate. And don't you dare ask me about it because I'll smear a booger on my computer screen. And I obviously added that last part. But there's the topic, I promise, to your calls on it right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Maz.
One big kindergarten classroom.
Really is. Just slinging poo at each other.
Daycare for grown-ups.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, Bill. How you doing?
Good, Dan. How about you?
No complaints. That's good.
We don't want to hear them anyway, so.
You've been doing this a long time now, and you've given us an assessment each year pretty much. I thought on how you would characterize or assess this year's quarterback class in the draft.
Well, as always, there are some interesting players. I think we talked earlier about the draft process. Some players didn't play. Some players played a full season. Some players played a partial season. You know, when you look at the players at that position, I think you see a lot of different differences in the 2020 season. A lot of it's by conference, but there are, you know, some other circumstances as well. So it's an interesting class. It's an interesting group of guys, and some have some, you know, very strong in some skills. Some are seem very strong in other skills. So it's it's definitely an interesting group.
All right, there's a non-answer from Belichick, but he spoke today, so we're giving you the sound. Back to it, and your thoughts on this. Greg in the car. Go ahead, Greg.
Yeah, I'm just tired of hearing the narrative about how Mac Jones has all these weapons around him. No one talks about how Trevor Lawrence played with a loaded team for the last 3 years in a weak ACC. I mean, the SEC is the premier conference in the country, and he's playing against superior talent all the time, yet everybody thinks Trevor Lawrence is going to be the best player in the draft. I think Lawrence is a bust. Mac Jones is the best quarterback in the draft. Go Pats.
Okay, Greg, that last part, you know, I don't need that last part, but call me back. Let me know how you did in the draft. Call me back in a couple of years. Let me know if you're right or wrong.
So, look, someone else made the argument earlier on that how come people didn't say this about Joe Burrow when he came out?
That's a better comp.
Okay, Burrow had all these weapons around him, and, you know, so why didn't people look at him critically? And I would say because Burrow threw the ball down the field. I mean, you know, it felt to me like a more open offense, more decision-making, you know, more risk-taking, whereas Jones felt to me like just throw it 7 yards sideways and let the guy run down the field.
I'll dumb it down even further. Between the two, there was a wow factor to Burrow's throws.
But this is just another one. It's like, how do you evaluate Mac Jones when they were so much better than everybody else? The guys were so wide open. There was so much run after the catch. And it's like, how do you properly gauge that?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Look, I think he's like as hard a guy to evaluate as has ever been because the weapons around him were so good. Like, I the nature of their offense and the nature of his throws is what has made me skeptical about him.
Nate in the truck. Hi, go ahead, please.
Real quick, a couple things. Justin Fields is not going to fall. San Francisco is not going to give up that much draft capital to go ahead and get a guy like Mac Jones. They're going to have Kyle Shanahan's head. Also, to Garoppolo, real quick, the thing is, Trey Lance, he has a second pro day. Are the Pats going to go to that? That's the question. And my last one is Felger and Matt with Garoppolo. That being said, you can't do this whole year-to-year thing. Bill screwed it up when he didn't have the guy after Brady. So that being said, here's a scenario. If Brady goes and wins another championship and he gets a back-to-back that he never got here and Bill misses the playoffs, that's when it's time to get rid of Bill.
Okay. I mean, it makes it more of a, you know, it makes it more emotional and just sort of highlights how you've butchered this thing. The better Brady does, the more you look like a jackass. So, like, that's the thing. And so if Brady does it again and you flail around again, yes, it'll be doubled from last year. Fine. The thing about, again, he said
Trey Lance.
Trey Lance.
I don't know if he's going to see Trey Lance.
When is that? So he's doing a second pro day too?
That's news to me. So again, I sent you Mark Daniels, who covers the Patriots Providence Journal, had like a whole breakdown of what scouts saw who, and he said Matt Groh went to North Dakota to see Trey Lance, but maybe he is having a second pro day. I don't know.
So, I mean, I read these tea leaves or I log it because if you draft the guy and Bill didn't go, that tells you he really is deferring to some of his staff, or he's not going because these guys are going to be long gone by the time the Pats are on the board and everyone's had their mock drafts all wrong. Or what? I don't know. There's some conclusion to draw. There's something to sink your teeth into there. How come Bill wouldn't want to go see these guys if they're in line to draft him? Well, maybe they're not. Bob and Needham. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, first of all, guys, about the question I would have asked Belichick, I would have said, in an early interview, you said you sold out for the last 5 years. Okay, other than the cornerback, who exactly did you sell out for? All you did was lose one player, Amendola, et cetera, Gronk, et cetera, after another. Who did you get Brady to help? I mean, nobody. So you didn't add anybody. You didn't add any payroll. Now, this year, you did add payroll.
Not really. You have it backwards. They added payroll Brady's last year. It blew up in their face with Antonio Brown and Mohamed Sanu and whatnot. That's the only kind of half case that Bill has about selling out. The last year, they reached for these veteran receivers that cost them. Fine. Fair enough. But what Bob's referring to, folks, is that Bill was asked about the spending spree this offseason. He replied by saying, it's cyclical. Some years you have money, some years you don't. This is a year we happen to have money, and it all averages out in the long run. But we did what we always do, which is we try and improve the team, which is a big, fat cop-out, which is being kind, frankly. It's a lie. The reason they spent their faces off is because their roster was so depleted. And I give them credit for doing so. But don't delude yourself. It all averages out, and this was just our year to spend. You're telling me if they had a good young team that went 12-4, they're spending $160 million guaranteed dollars in free agency? No freaking shot. You're riding the good young team and passing on free agency. So that was sort of left out from his answer today. That's what the caller's referring
to. Oh, he doesn't want to take ownership of it. That's what it is. He doesn't want to take ownership of the fact that he had to go to ownership and ask for money because his roster sucks so bad. And I'm telling you, I do think there's this little tit-for-tat thing that's been going on with Kraft and Belichick regarding the roster and the expenses and everything else, or the money. Because Bill went on the Charlie Weiss thing and said, well, we didn't have any money. So then Robert goes out and says, well, we had to spend all this money because our draft sucked. Like, I think there's just some little spit and match there. That's what it feels like. And I'm not telling you it means the guy's getting fired tomorrow or anything like that.
But after the year, maybe.
Yeah,
I wouldn't rule that out. They go 5-11. I think it's in play.
No, of course there's a little something there. Of course there is.
5-12, Maz.
Oh, 5-12, yeah.
And you know, if I'm the owner, I'm a little agitated. And Bill's always agitated at something. So that's, I definitely think, is bleeding through. Yes, Murray?
Trey Lance has scheduled a second pro day for Monday, April 19th.
Okay. Odds of Bill being there?
Zero.
Somewhere between zero and zero. Barbara and Beverly's up next. Hi, Barbara.
He'll be laying on his back in the Caribbean.
Hi, guys. How are you?
We're good, Barbara.
Oh, I just get that megalomaniac. I mean, seriously, he's not going to move up in the draft. You know he's going to take a quarterback in the second, third, actually not the second, the probably the fourth or fifth. He does not want, he wants a Brady. He wants someone that he thinks he can, because he can use anyone in the top 15 to win the Super Bowl. The guy has an ego the size of New York. I'm like, so tired of hearing about him. Who do you think he's going to take in the draft? Micah Parsons.
Yes.
You guys made me study the draft all of a sudden. So that's who I think he's going to take.
And me too,
thank
Barbara.
You, very much.
You too. Thank you, Barbara. And I'm okay with Micah Parsons or the best defensive front seven player on the board. I'm actually okay with that. And I'm okay with Kyle Trask at 45 or Kellen Mond at 48 or whatever they like. I'm okay with that. I'm actually okay with that. Megalomaniac.
Oh, I like
says
it.
Barbara. That's
yeah.
Good.
No, she hates Belichick.
Yeah, she does.
And she knows more about the draft than 80% of the people that work here.
No, more than I do. That's for sure.
See, Micah Parsons, good for you, Babs.
How about the Patriots' philosophy with these athletic quarterbacks versus the pocket passers, and where do they stand with this? Let's get to that right after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.